This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first half hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Robert Wild from the University of Oklahoma Health Science Center about a recent paper that his group published looking at hormone replacement therapy in women and the risk factors that are increased when these women suffer from metabolic disorders. This is going to be a really important discussion. During the second half hour, we will have Dr. Declan Naughton, all the way from the Kingston University in London, talking about vitamin D and its effects on Alzheimer's disease. Really, really exciting stuff. And then the second hour will be dedicated to a continuation into the discussion about the psychology of maintaining weight loss. Many people lose weight only to boomerang back up. We will have Dr. Matt Andre on to continue the discussion on the things that people can do and the mindset that it takes to be successful in maintaining your weight loss long enough until the landscape of your brain can change and you can stay there on your own. Good stuff. Okay, first of all, today is the 14th. We have through today and tomorrow to vote. You know that Superhuman Radio has been nominated for the top health and fitness podcast in the 8th Annual Podcast Awards at the New Media Expo in Las Vegas. Please go to podcastawards.com and vote for Superhuman Radio. You can vote once a day, and we're hoping that we fare well. Also, as of this morning, there are still some free 15-ounce jars of Titan Organics raw virgin coconut oil. This is an amazing coconut oil product. You will not find any coconut oil like this anywhere else. And we are giving away 100 free jars to Superhuman Radio listeners. Go to superhumanradio.com. Look for the banner ad for Titan Organics. You must use the coupon code on the banner ad to take advantage of this. Click it and take advantage of it as quickly as possible before they're all gone. Okay. Dr. Robert Weil is with the University of Oklahoma Health Science Center. How are you doing, Dr. Weil?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, this is an important discussion because there's a lot of people out there who will actually get on hormone replacement therapy, especially women, because they're being told that it can help reverse or mitigate some of the dangers of metabolic disorders. But your research has shown that having a metabolic syndrome when getting on to HRT for some women may actually be a greater risk factor. Is that not correct?
Yeah, it appears that if somebody really has cardiometabolic disorders, that hormones may carry added risk in terms of cardiovascular outcomes.
Now, you looked at a very large body of work that has been used for a long time now, which was the Women's Health Initiative. For those people who are not familiar with the Women's Health Initiative, describe the scope of this this study.
Okay, the Women's Health Initiative was probably the largest clinical trial, really, in other words, real good patient science that the National Institutes of Health ever funded. It was huge and had lots of components. Some of them were what we call observational studies, and within that were the randomized clinical trials, which has the advantage of randomization, which improves problems with forms of bias. And basically, it suggested that when you took either estrogen or estrogen plus progestin, that there was certain risks and benefits. And what we really thought from the science prior to that was mostly all beneficial, and what we found is benefits for some things and certainly potential risk for others. And then what our study tried to do is look within that study to try to determine if we could better figure out, is that true for everybody, or are there people that we can find that are going to have problems versus those that are not likely to have problems?
In fact, the Women's Health Initiative made, and I know for a fact with my own sister, when the WHI was published, she was on hormone replacement therapy. She abandoned her HRT because much of the information that came out of the Women's Health Initiative actually scared women that HRT may actually be more dangerous than not using it at all. But your research, instead of looking at this topical stuff that the media kind of ran with back then, you guys look deeper and look for linkages between the increased risk and HRT, right?
That's exactly right. That's what we tried to do. Rather than just make it a blanket type recommendation, we're trying to help people individualize.
And I have to commend you for this, first of all, because all too often we look for the soundbite in things that are sensationalizable, and we throw the baby out with the bathwater. So what did your group look at, and what did you learn?
Well, what we did was figured out and tracked, and unfortunately we only had 4 years of follow-up data, so that's why we have to point out that we're looking into this in much more depth, because we want to be able to follow people even longer and get larger numbers to make the issue more clear. But given those constraints, what we did is figured out all those who actually had a heart attack, and then we compared their risk factors before they actually started the study to comparable people that didn't, and we tried to figure out what's different. And what we found is that at baseline, people were at risk. And then when they took hormones, they had additive risk. In other words, not just risk from their condition, but risk because of the hormone treatment on top of it. That contrasted with those individuals who appeared not to be at risk, and they seemed to not have trouble.
They benefited, in fact, perhaps it could be said.
Perhaps, although the data is a little tough to prove that yet.
Now we have to also speak about something else. My audience would be calling me out if I didn't say this, because we've talked about the WHI over the years, and that is the types of hormones that were being followed, whether traditional Premarin, Prempro, you know, equine estrogens and progestins that are not only thought to be perhaps not the best choice for humans, but also these are the preparations, quite often oral preparations that are methylated, which cause some challenges to the liver. Now, I don't want to discount anything, but I just want to say, you know, that we understand that up front, and there is imperfection in everything, but your group clearly did something that's really important. And this is the statement that I want to make, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this. Getting on HRT is not going to mitigate bad lifestyle choices.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Let me address some of those issues. When the WHI was designed, it was it's a matter of what you can feasibly do given the numbers of people you can study.
Right.
And it turned out at the time that the preparations that were chosen to be compared were actually the most widely used preparations at the time.
Correct.
And I think that's fair enough. And the dogma prior to that was that hormones were cardioprotective, and they were trying to figure out if that was true or not. Well, of course, science moves on, and we learn a lot more with anything. And the advantage or disadvantage of a huge study like this is that it may be much more scientifically correct, but it also may be outmoded in time, just by definition, because it takes so long to get the study done.
Right.
And so they were able to compare the most widely utilized, which is a very important effort. But, you know, that your point is very well taken. We don't know that other preparations with lower doses or different routes of delivery or different pharmaceutical makeup, they may or may not have similar risk. And people tend to use a big, broad brush stroke for any kinds of hormones as being equal in risk, and we know that's clearly not true.
Well, and again, I am not a scholar. I'm a radio show host, but I've been around science long enough, and I think that I would personally, if making a decision on my own, would say that the preparation of an oral hormone is going to probably influence the thrombotic index, the clotting factor, but I don't think it's going to necessarily influence the intrinsic effects of hormones and the jobs that they do. With that being said, it's fair to think that if you are someone who is doing things that are promoting metabolic disorders, including insulin resistance and all that that begets, that taking these hormones may actually increase your risk over time. Is that what you found?
Yes, we did. And like you say, we're sort of limited to oral preparation because that's what was studied.
Right.
And we realized that, you know, when you take oral preparations, it can affect the liver and that can affect clotting mechanisms, like you mentioned. And it appears that people with cardiometabolic disorders, they have kind of a revved up inflammatory state and possibly a higher thrombotic state. So now you add an oral preparation on top of that, it may lead to mischief. And other studies are showing that if you don't use an oral route, that you may not get into that much or similar kind of risk. But the issue is what's the real issue? The issue is if somebody has risk factors to begin with, they ought to be addressed.
Right.
And then if a decision comes to use hormones, yes or no, why are they used? Well, they're used for symptom relief, a very good reason. They improve quality of life. They improve hot flush control. They improve sleep in some circumstances. They improve vaginal function, sexual function. All those are good indications. And we don't have any real good indication that hormones are useful for cardiovascular risk prevention.
Right.
By the same token, if somebody has a risk factor to begin with, that's a perfect opportunity to find them, treat them, and keep those under control before more decisions for hormone therapy can be clarified.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'd like to pose the question about unopposed estrogen, whether any differences in the groups that were receiving both estrogen and progestins versus just estrogen only. We're talking with Dr. Robert Wild, and he is with the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center. We're talking about the fact that if you have metabolic disorder, taking hormones not only may not correct it, but actually may put you at greater risk. So get your lifestyle in shape first. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers 2 well-documented, powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the H-Force banner ad today while supplies last.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Robert Wild from the University of Oklahoma Health Science Center. Okay, so was there any difference in the women who were on unopposed hormones versus combination therapies?
Okay, well, just let me answer that by giving a little background, depending on the sophisticated the questions the audience might have. One thing to think about is that when the uterus is present postmenopausally, if you give estrogen alone, it increases the risk for endometrial cancer. We know that clearly. That's why we give a progestin to oppose it. So people that are studied to take estrogen progestin in this particular study, by definition, have a uterus. And they have different risk factors to begin with compared to those individuals who take only estrogen who do not have a uterus.
Ah.
So there are different kinds of people.
So theoretically, women who have had radical hysterectomies, this is not an issue for them.
Well, estrogen alone is given for people where uterus is gone if they're symptomatic. And in this study, compared to placebo, and then estrogen plus progestin is given to those whose uterus is present, didn't have the hysterectomy, compared to placebo. So It's estrogen, progestin compared to placebo in these two different kinds of groups of patients. So that being said, we tried to look to see if the risk for the metabolic concern that you've so well discussed would increase risk by taking hormones within these each individual group. And the answer is we don't have enough power to be sure. What power means is you need large numbers of people in order to make the definitions or make the findings really crystal clear. So we had to group the data to get enough power to answer our first question. And if we look within each group, it appears that when you use an estrogen-progestin combination, that may have a little greater risk compared to placebo than if you use estrogen alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tricky because those are different kinds of people with different risk factors to begin with.
Right.
So that's why I mentioned at the front end that we really want to have larger numbers followed longer so we can be more solid and clear about what the findings really were.
As far as the cardioprotective value of estrogen, we had Dr. Jean-Francois Tanguay on from the Montreal Heart Institute just yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Talking about the cardioprotective effects of estradiol, in their research, they show that estradiol suppresses C-reactive protein and some other pro-inflammatory markers that are linked directly to cardiovascular disease. And they, this was a result of epidemiology pointing to the fact that women tend not to have heart attacks at the rate of men until they have gone through menopause.
Uh-huh.
And so.
The gender issue, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot more at play there. We actually, when I had him on the show yesterday, we talked about the creatine factor as well. I mean, men produce more creatine, and hence we produce more homocysteine, and that's another independent risk factor for cardiovascular. So we kind of touched on that, and there seems to be a consensus that estrogen plays some sort of cardioprotective role in women. With that being said. I'm saying this again for a reason, because I have a cousin who is a second or third cousin of mine who recently developed a cancer. I forget if it was uterine or breast cancer. And she's in her 60s, and she's been on HRT for a long time, but she has a horrible lifestyle. She's severely overweight. And, you know, and she said, oh, the hormones. And I said, no, you cannot mitigate a bad lifestyle by taking hormones. So many of us, and men are guilty of this too. I'm on testosterone replacement therapy since 2007. That doesn't allow me to go out and crap on my body and say, oh, well, my testosterone's protecting me. You can't think that hormones are the shield that are going to protect you against these diseases.
That's a very important message and a very crystal clear message. You know, we can do a lot lifestyle-wise to mitigate a lot of the risk to us for whatever, whether it be cancer risk, cardiovascular risk. You know, and from a cardiovascular point of view, what, 90% of all cardiovascular disease is preventable.
Right.
Just by dealing with the lifestyle issues you're talking about. So that's the important message here. That's a much more important issue than trying to think that hormones are going to dramatically weigh the risk one way or another. I think that's an excellent thing to emphasize.
Where do you go now with this information? Obviously, you've got a lot of data there that you can drill down, but you have to find data, as you so eloquently point out, is strong enough to have indications. Where do you go now?
Well, I think what we need to do is look at different kinds of risk factor models and find out if we can be much more clear about figuring out who's at dramatic risk and who isn't. And then we need to look if we can do it by years since menopause. The average age of people in this study were around 62 when it was started.
Right.
And one of the strong interests people have is it going to be the same thing if you started around the time that menopause really starts, which is around
40,
50, or for most people, 51 median in the United States. And are those the same risk? Well, it's really tough to answer those questions. You need large numbers to address it.
What about
this?
Let
me get back to one mechanism thing that you,
yes,
you perk my interest when you talk about the estradiol. I think it's pretty clear from animal studies and that estrogen that the body makes, estradiol by itself, endogenous, what we call the way it's made, not the way it's taken,
right,
pharmaceutically, but the way it's making is pretty protective against the vascular tree. And many, many animal models show that clearly. So what God made for women is good in that sense. Now, to equate that with what's taken what we call exogenously,
right,
is yet a different step. So it's hard to equate one with the other. And I think what we're all trying to do scientifically is figure out if we can mimic the endogenous way better, can then in the long run improve things.
Well, and interestingly, you know, this has been discussed before on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Estradiol is a powerful anti-inflammatory. And I just talked about this yesterday, so I know people are going to go, Carl, we already heard this, but for the sake of the discussion,
mm-hmm,
you know, in the case of blunt force trauma in both men and women, the brain will bathe itself in estradiol through aromatization,
mm-hmm,
because estradiol can suppress inflammation through fibroblast activation factor receptors on the cell. So we know that estradiol is this magical compound that is protective to both men and women, as you point out. But at the same time, research shows that when oral preparations of estradiol are taken, whether they be oral preparations that have been methylated to avoid first pass liver degradation, or even just base powders, that when the liver metabolizes the estradiol, something else happens, and it actually has a pro-inflammatory effect. So what you're saying is very accurate. The estradiol needs to get into the body in a way that mimics the way the body releases estradiol into itself.
That's right. The metabolism of estrogen in the gut by itself, and then the way it's done in the liver, has been known for a long time. So people have been trying to get around that challenge in a lot of different ways, and that's why we see transdermal preparations,
pellets.
Yeah. Vaginal preparations and
right,
so forth. So, I mean, people are trying to get around it. And the other thing that you just perked my interest was the idea of the C-reactive protein and inflammation.
Right.
Clearly, these individuals at baseline, their C-reactive proteins were higher. And one of the theories, people say, well, why do you think this really happens? Well, one of the leading theories is through this inflammatory component you're talking about.
Right.
may well be that by taking it orally and the doses given, that we're aggravating what is an inflammatory process. And the hallmark of cardiometabolic disease appears to be extra fat. And we now know that fat's an important endocrine organ.
Right.
And it's an inflammatory depot, and it seems to create inflammation on other parts of the body, including the vascular tree, perhaps in the ovary, all throughout the body. So maybe by taking this oral estrogen, you're really aggravating that circumstance. Now you have damaged vessels to begin with, and we know that clean vessels behave to estrogen in a positive way, but atherosclerotic fibrous caps that are ready to clot, they may behave in a totally different way. And that appears to be an inflammatory process. So that's why mechanistically it's attractive to think that what's going on is we're aggravating an inflammatory thing that's explaining the findings we're seeing.
Well, one of the things we learned from Dr. Tangay's research is that C-reactive protein begets more C-reactive protein. An introduction of a certain injection of recombinant C-reactive protein actually caused a fivefold increase of release of C-reactive protein by the liver. So it's almost like the inflammatory response is increased in an exponential way. So I can see why some of these oral preparations that stimulate an inflammatory response have this avalanche effect on inflammation.
And then inflammation affects thrombosis, which is clotting.
Right.
And that's a terminal event for a heart attack. So that's why it's attractive. And what we're doing is studying people, and we're looking at events and associations. We're not studying the mechanisms, and there's all kinds of different research trying to study that in different ways. So, yeah, it's intriguing for those of us that are studying it, and it's very complex, and we need all kinds of research. We need animal research, we need human research, population research, mechanistic research, molecular research, all kinds of it to put the pieces together.
But in the meantime, get your lifestyle straight. Reduce
Amen.
Your body fat.
That's exactly the message. The message is, look, most of this is reversible. It's amazing. The amazing part is you can only lose about 10% of your body weight if you're affected with this, and you can have a dramatic response.
Yeah.
It's not like you really have to get down to dramatic changes. But it's hard. Lifestyle changes are really tough.
Yeah.
And when people are confronted with it, We gotta help people learn to look in the mirror and say, hey, pay attention.
Yeah. Compliance is a difficult task. That's why it's easier to give somebody, even getting compliance and taking a pill daily is difficult. Never mind telling somebody, change the way you eat, change the way you exercise, change the way you sleep. Yeah. Okay.
That's
anyway,
tough.
Listen, Dr. Wild, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show. I hope you'll come back when you learn more.
Well, appreciate the chance to talk about it, and I think you hit the major message, which is know your risk before you make a choice.
There you go. And get your risks under control, because hormones are not going to mitigate a bad lifestyle.
It's not enough to know the numbers. You have to act on your numbers and get them to normal.
Thank you, Dr. Wild.
Okay, thank you.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we will have Dr. Declan Naughton on from the Kingston University in London to talk about vitamin D's effect on Alzheimer's disease. This is really interesting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar
Barbana ad, start enjoying dessert again.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. While supplies last.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGN Store. .com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Now we are joined by Dr. Declan Norton from the Kingston University in London as we embark on more discussion about the magics of vitamin D. How you doing, Dr. Norton?
I'm doing very good, Carl. Good to hear from you.
Yes, pleasure to have you on the show also. Okay, so first of all, discuss the design of this study that your group has performed.
Sure. Can I take you back a little bit to
please,
the earlier study?
Please.
I think it would make a lot of sense, particularly for your audience.
Please.
I was approached in 2009 by a small company who are making those kind of UV lamps kind of thing that people use in the winter to cheer themselves up.
Yes.
And they also have a benefit of producing vitamin D. And this company asked me, would I do a review for their website just of vitamin D and the potential benefits of these lamps, which I was, of course, very happy to do, work with the community, etc. What we found reviewing the literature was that we went through all of the systematic reviews on vitamin D and every disease for the past 2 decades, so that's from 1990 to 2010, and that included some 465 studies, and we did not actually find any significant association between vitamin D and disease.
Really?
Now, that really surprised me that the medical community had put in that much effort, and yet we hadn't proven something, at least to my satisfaction.
Okay.
So that's kind of concerning. So, you know, with my group here in Kingston, we started to look about to see where the weak links could be in this research. One of the things that we notice in the literature, again, standing on the shoulders of other scientists and clinicians, was that there's quite a lot of debate about the benefits or otherwise of the assays that are used to measure vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
So there's disputes between labs in terms of the results and the findings. It's an incredibly difficult series of analytes to measure. So to give a very brief outline of the story, you have two forms of vitamin D. One is vitamin D2 that comes from edible mushrooms and some other foodstuffs. And then you have vitamin D3 that essentially comes from sunlight acting on your body, but you can get some vitamin D3 from foodstuffs. Now, the vitamin D2 and 3 we might call the primary forms. These are then metabolized by a single hydroxylation to form the circulating forms, and we could call them the storage forms that are found in the blood. Now, those storage forms are the forms that are actually measured usually if you go in and get a clinical assay for vitamin D. Unfortunately, those storage forms are not the active forms. The active forms are when you do a second metabolic phase, i.e. a second hydroxylation, you get the most active forms. And again, unfortunately, the correlation between the storage forms and the most active forms doesn't exist.
And the most active form, is that not calciferol or calcitriol?
Well, it's 1,25-hydroxyvitamin D, so it's for the D2 and the D3.
Right, okay.
So it's the dihydroxylated form. But the issue is that one, measuring the circulating forms, which are the monohydroxylated forms, presents a huge number of problems to get accurate data. Secondly, the active forms are, in fact, the dihydroxylated forms that many studies don't measure.
Right.
So now we're starting to tease out this jigsaw puzzle, perhaps, and to see why we're not getting clear associations in our work. So for those 465 studies, many of them supplementation studies, we're not seeing any real significant association.
So when you start to dig down and look at this active form instead of the storage form, what do you see?
Well, that's a very good question, because at the moment we're going through a number of diseases in our work. But to again go back a little bit, and again you're asking advanced questions which are really helpful, to go back a little bit, we realized that there was a need to set up as close as we could in our laboratory with our facilities something like a gold standard for measuring vitamin D. So that's why we set up our assay that can measure 10 different forms of vitamin D. So if you think about it, people usually measure two forms, which are the monohydroxylated circulating forms of the primary vitamin D2 and vitamin D3. We can now measure the primary forms, the monohydroxylated, the dihydroxylated, plus a whole bunch of other forms that are associated with cancer, etc. So we are now at the stage where we are applying that assay to people with diabetes, people with rheumatoid arthritis, mother pregnancy situations, to see about predicting the levels of vitamin D in children, etc., after pregnancy.
This is very exciting.
Yes, and of course the Alzheimer's study, which is the one you asked me to come and talk about.
Right.
Which we've just published recently.
Is your group the only one that is looking at these different forms?
Oh, no. There are several groups around the world. There are a few groups who can measure a number of forms. I'm not aware of any groups who can measure 10 forms. But there are certainly groups that can measure 3, 4, and sometimes 5 forms.
Okay.
But the point is that, if you like, in a way it's a bit like, a racing car, Formula One racing car. The technology has kind of advanced, but not everybody is driving it around the street.
Yeah.
So we have got the advance in the assays, but there is that kind of lag phase before your local hospital would be doing this, I suspect.
Okay, so now when you start looking at these different, is the proper terminology isoforms of vitamin D?
I suppose isoforms. I call them analogs.
When you start looking at these different analogs of vitamin D, what do you find as it relates to Alzheimer's?
Well, yes, Alzheimer's, I think, is a particularly interesting story because, again, there had been literature precedents where people had looked at, say, often they'll accumulate the two circulating forms and make one measurement, etc., but then there's questions about what they're actually measuring. But when we looked, we were fascinated to see if there was an issue with the conversion of one form to another form, particularly. So if the primary form was not converted to the monohydroxylated storage form, or if that was not converted to the active form, the dihydroxylated form, for both vitamin D2 and vitamin D3. And what we found was that a large number of the patients with Alzheimer's disease who were not receiving any treatment had got very low or not measurable levels of the hydroxylated vitamin D2. So that is, I know it's quite complicated if you're not up to speed with vitamin D, but that means a circulating form of the D2, which is a form that comes from edible mushrooms, etc.
Now, it's interesting because vitamin D2 has gotten a bad rap as it relates to the fortification in some foods like milk and so on. But that's a synthetic vitamin D2, is it not?
Well, I mean, it depends on what they're actually putting in, so I'd have to see what they're putting in.
Okay.
But it would be, I think your last speaker, which is a good show, by the way, I think we talked about exogenous vitamin D2.
Okay.
So it's not in the normal diet, but it's fortified.
Okay.
So, for us, one of the issues is that if you're getting the primary form of vitamin D2, which we saw in the blood, but we didn't see substantial amounts or in many cases, any of the hydroxylated form. The issue then is there a problem around the enzyme system that converts the fibrin form, the primary form to the hydroxylated form? And more importantly, is there something around that enzyme system that is causing an issue in a different part of the biochemistry of the body? Because many of the enzymes actually hydroxylate, you know, a whole range of different molecules.
Is the enzymes that we're talking about that convert these into the different forms, is that part of the P450 cytochrome cascade?
Yeah.
It is. Interesting. Mm. Because that's being affected a great deal through a lot of pharmacological interventions nowadays, from NSAIDs on down, aromatase inhibitors and everything else. Okay,
so
is supplemental vitamin D a wise thing in your opinion?
Well, if you have an issue, and this is why I brought this up early on in our discussion, if you have an issue with the enzyme system, then if you're supplementing the primary form of vitamin D, it's not going to get converted.
Mm.
So you don't have that, if you like, chain reaction, bringing it down to the active form and having the storage forms in the body. So if you're talking about supplementation, as we said in our paper, it was just published recently in Current Alzheimer's Research, if you're talking about supplementation, it may be worth looking at supplementing the form that is missing, which is a hydroxylated form.
And you said that the vitamin D2 is best obtained by mushrooms. What other food sources do we have of this vitamin D2?
Usually it's mushrooms. In the United Kingdom, we get it from farmed oily fish because of what they're fed with in the fish farms. But not usually wild fish. So farmed wild fish, such as farmed salmon, we can get it from that. And some grasses, I think ryegrass as well. So some of these is really kind of algae and fungi, that type of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not going to say any names of companies. I'm not attached to any company and I have no conflict of interest over this work. But I have had a number of companies, particularly from the United States, email me and say, oh, they're looking at preparations from mushrooms, edible mushrooms, etc., you know, enriched in vitamin D2, which I thought was quite interesting.
Well, I just say eat mushrooms more often. Forget about it.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
You know, and here's what I want to do. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the biosynthesis of vitamin D in the skin, which we say is predominantly D3, but does any of that D2 get produced? We're talking with Dr. Declan Norton from the University of Kingston in London about vitamin D and Alzheimer's disease. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today. And do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia.
nothing else. Go to WheyNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WheyNaturalUSA.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relexin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N. Titan Organics is a direct importer of the finest organic virgin coconut oil from pristine Philippines farmland. Their raw, organic, and kosher centrifuged coconut oil is the finest available in the world. They're so confident that you've never experienced a finer coconut oil that the first 100 Superhuman Radio listeners get a free 15-ounce jar. If you love coconut oil for cooking, skin, and hair care, or if you eat it out of the jar like Carl does, you're going to be absolutely blown away. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Titan Organics banner ad to get your free jar today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oops. I did it again, baby.
Yeah.
The ladies are gonna love you.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Declan Norton about vitamin D. And you know, this discussion began when I had Adele Musa on the show, and we talked about how supplementing with vitamin D3 did not necessarily produce the effects that people were looking for because it was not converting to these other metabolites of vitamin D. And we continue this discussion to show you that these things are always much more complex than we think they are. Okay, so Dr. Norton, there is a discussion in the United States, and I'm sure it's this way in other countries, where people should not go in the sun for fear of skin cancer. I'm not a believer of this, and I am a sun worshiper. Is there any indication that the vitamin D's and its isoforms produced during the normal process of sitting in the sun is somehow better for us than the stuff that we throw down our throat in tablet forms?
I guess it's a very good question. It depends on what you're taking. If you look at the conversion to vitamin D3 by sunlight, which happens at, for those who know about these things, at wavelengths about 300 nanometers, that is indeed the kind of wavelength where you can get some damage to your skin, etc. So it's all about in moderation, I think is the phrase I would use here. But the thing about when it's made in your skin is that it's kind of delivered in a natural way to your body, all over your body.
Right.
At a controlled dose, it's not suddenly, you know, swamped in your intestine where you may have side effects, etc., in a chemical form that will then depend on the rate of absorption through the intestines. So there are differences, but I'm not saying that those differences are, you know, really significant or something to be concerned about. But certainly, I think you touched on earlier when you you introduced this latter part, you touched on the idea that these many different forms are appearing to have many different functions. Now, if we use the analogy of an enzyme, say an enzyme such as hemoglobin, for some 50 years we looked at hemoglobin and thought of it as just a transport protein that carries oxygen around the blood.
Right.
Now we know it's actually a nitrite reductase, so it can reduce nitrite to nitric oxide, which enhances blood flow. So it converts, once it loses oxygen, from an oxygen delivery vehicle into a signaling enzyme.
Wow.
And in the same way, and we know that, I mean, that work was very, very elegant, and I was very fortunate I was involved in that work back in the 1990s. But, you know, from that perspective, we can look at something like the different forms of vitamin D, and we haven't even started on the epimers, and I think you probably know what epimers are. They're like your left-handed glove as opposed to your right-handed glove.
Right.
So they're very similar molecules with just some stereo different forms.
Right.
Now the epimers start to kick in, and then we get a whole new raft of functions potentially. So what we're talking about is a system where we're at the moment often measuring only two forms that float around the blood that are possibly not active forms, but we've got another raft of forms and new vitamin D molecules being discovered. I mean, you know, vitamin D6 or something was discovered only 3 months ago in mushrooms.
That's amazing. Is there any way to ramp up the enzymatic cascades that are responsible for converting the vitamin D to its various metabolites?
Yes, most, that's a very good question again. Most of the enzymes that are involved in the body in, say, antioxidant processes, for example, or in detoxification processes can be ramped up, either transcription elevated by given certain types of compounds. So another area that I work in, to give an analogy for your audience, is the antioxidant systems. And we've discovered, scientists have discovered, medics have discovered that you can induce the transcription of antioxidant enzymes by taking certain foodstuffs. So you have, if you like, an antioxidant diet. So you take these foodstuffs, they get to your cells, and they give the cells a message, hey, let's make much more superoxide dismutase, for example. Now, that compared to trying to take an antioxidant like vitamin E is kind of like, you know, years ahead in terms of being efficacious because you have an enzyme as opposed to a simple molecule. And vitamin E is probably best described as an electron transfer agent rather than a true antioxidant in many people's eyes.
Wow. And so these foodstuffs that we can use to increase this this transcription, are there specific foods as it relates to the conversion of vitamin D to its more valuable isoforms?
I don't think that's been identified yet, but I think that is one of the next steps we have to look at. Both that side, which I think is a very good side that you brought up, but also the other side is the vitamin D receptor. Now, the reason that I talk about vitamin D receptor is a paper just come out. I don't have the name of the author. I apologize to them. The paper just come out recently where they have demonstrated that people with different alleles or different forms of the vitamin D receptor have very different responses to vitamin D supplementation. So, again, another example of that is another area I work in is anabolic steroids. People who take anabolic steroids, for example, if they go to the gym and they obtain them illegally, if you take 10 people and they all take anabolic steroids, because they all have different genetics, they could get extremely different doses the anabolic steroid. So some would get 30 or 40 times as much of the anabolic steroid. So then the side effects kick in. So, you know, if you're stupid enough to go to the gym and take some anabolic steroids because the guy beside you is taking them, you might be effectively getting 30 times as much because you've got different genetics.
And this is an important discussion, especially as it relates to vitamin D. There was a study that was just unembargoed today that links mothers who, and obviously this is epidemiological, so, mothers who carry their babies during the sunnier times of the year tend to give birth to babies that do not have multiple sclerosis, and mothers who carry babies during the, and they looked at different points in the equatorial position, but there's a linkage between mothers being exposed to sun, hence increased vitamin D, and the suppression of multiple sclerosis.
Yes, I thought that was a very interesting study, Colin. Now, I will admit I only saw the press release from that as opposed to read the full paper, so I've got to be very careful what I say. But I would be very interested if it was possible to work with these scientists where we could, and clinicians where we could actually apply our assay to see if there is a direct correlation.
Yeah, because, you know, my concern with epidemiological studies, as I've voiced on the show numerous times, is because something looks a certain way doesn't mean anything. To put it in the words of Dr. Lauren Cordain, who came on my show 5 or 6 years ago and said, according to epidemiologists, fire trucks start fires because they're always at the fire.
The other one I like is that, you know, people drown because we eat a lot more ice cream. It's nothing to do with the sunny days and people going to the beach.
Exactly. All right, so in summary, if individuals are concerned, getting back on track here, with the development of Alzheimer's disease, it looks like finding ways to get the dihydro form of vitamin D2 into the body may be a prudent discussion.
That's what we said in the paper, and it's something, obviously, you know, this is a first paper, and as you know, with first papers, we like to see other scientists and clinicians, you know, repeat the work or comment on the work, etc. So from that perspective, I think that would be a very good line of inquiry to follow, as one could put it diplomatically.
And, you know, this can be expanded. I mean, we've had scientists on the show where we've discussed the fact that diseases like Parkinson's disease are very similar to Alzheimer's disease, except they're localized in different parts of the brain. In the case of Parkinson's, it's substantia nigra. So if this plays out to have an effect on Parkinson's, on Alzheimer's, one could extrapolate that it may also affect some other neurological disorders in the brain.
Well, what I am aiming to do, and I'm talking to people around the world at the moment, is to apply this assay that we have, that I've developed with my colleagues here in Kingston, to as many conditions as we possibly can, particularly the inflammatory conditions. And, you know, I know you've talked about this before, the link between vitamin D and inflammation, the inflammatory conditions, but also, you know, even healthy situations. And I've just conducted with some colleagues in Greece a study on the mother-baby scenario, so we've just submitted that for publication. So obviously, I can't go into those results until it's published.
How can I get an assay done like that? I'm really interested in to see what isoforms of vitamin D afloat. I supplement with vitamin D. I also spend time in the sun. Is there a way for individuals to have their physicians order a test like this for them?
Yep. At this moment, I'm not aware of anybody who can do this assay in the world apart from us. And we don't have an accredited lab, so we cannot provide a service. You must remember to the readers, I'm a research scientist as opposed to a clinically trained doctor.
Okay. Okay.
So from that perspective, we have published the assay, and we had a lot of people get in touch with us from various big hospitals around the world, so we would hope that they are kind of instituting this assay. One of the things to say about this assay is, your audience, some of them will certainly know this, that the old way, if you like, or sometimes the current way of doing this type of assay is a bit like a pregnancy test. So it's based on a kind of antigen interaction and immune interaction between the vitamin D and a protein, and you look at a color change. But we moved a lot to use a technique called liquid chromatography with mass spectrometry,
right.
And a lot of the assays have gone in this direction, and that's why we can get this additional discrepancy.
Interesting. I'm excited about this. I want to have this test done. I want to know what my blood looks like. I have to tell you, I can't wait for doctors to be able to offer this sort of thing. Dr. Norton, I want to thank you for making time to come on the show today. This is wonderful work that you're doing, really.
Thank you very much. My great pleasure indeed, and I hope to talk to you again.
Take care.
Bye.
Stay tuned. When we come back, we will have Dr. Matt Andre on as we further the discussion on the psychology of maintaining weight loss. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Can you find your way through the lyrics that be catching them? Throw another rhyme across the room, they be fetching them. It may take a loss to the master, and I throw his crazy clothes and they knows I be plastering.
The big stuff.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think you are?
Master Ace.
The big stuff.
Uh-huh.
You're never gonna get my love.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramail RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com. Nutrition.com today. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the superhuman nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP, or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, muscle gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Are you on our newsletter list yet? You better get on it quick, because we have an amazing Black Friday offer coming from almost all of our sponsors. Go to superhumanradio.com and sign up for our newsletter, and you're going to see ridiculous offers from the people who sponsored this show for Black Friday. Okay. You know, lots of people can lose weight, but then they gain it back. Sometimes they gain even more weight than they lost. Then they lose some more. Then they gain more, and they lose some more. And the net result is they get fatter and fatter and fatter until they give up and they lose the battle. They get frustrated. They say, the heck with it. I'm stuck here. No one better to talk about the psychology of maintaining weight loss than Dr. Matt Andre. How you doing, Dr. Andre?
I'm doing great, Carl. Thanks for having me.
And this really is the problem, isn't it? I mean, lots of people can lose weight, 20, 30 pounds. They look marvelous. They feel great. And a year later, they are, you know, 40 pounds up.
Well, that's what's kind of exciting about, you know, doing the show with you, is I know that you've got people listening this very second who are in that position. Or they have just lost weight and they're concerned about gaining it back. They're wondering what kind of a mindset to keep so that they maintain a momentum and don't lose ground that they've got, or how to regain ground that they've given up.
And, you know, I remember reading a long time ago, if you want to learn how to be thin, get inside the head of a thin person. Find out how they look at food, how they view the experience of eating and how they cope with hunger and so on and so forth. Is that true?
You know, possibly, and I suppose one could make a case that a number of the interventions we do for people when we're working with them with weight loss is in essence to help create that mindset, because I think what you can't necessarily do is imitate or pretend you have that mindset. Because the truth of the matter is there's a whole lot of people who are really skinny who aren't hungry very often.
Right.
And there's a lot of people, most people that I meet who are working with, or struggling with weight, particularly if they're overeating, and it's not all a metabolic issue, which happens sometimes, but they really feel hungry so often. And it's an inappropriately signaled, chemical urge to eat. It's not their fault, but they don't know that.
And so really, does it really come down to hunger and satiety? Is that really the end? When you try to reduce this, the whole issue about weight loss, weight management, is that domino one? If your hunger / satiety response is in the right place, you will have no problem maintaining a weight loss.
That is the goal I go in with most of my patients, is we're looking for, again, to me, disease of any type. And as you know, we do family practice. We do family medicine. We treat kind of, you know, all comers. All disease is a loss of homeostasis. And if we're in a place where what's really hard is in some ways the gaining of weight could be considered homeostatic. Why? Because, again, as you know, 500 million years of vertebrate zoology, which has been forged in the fire of calorie deficit for eons,
right,
has made the body such that it's trying to store weight and store energy to get us through those low times. So one could make a case that homeostatic is growing, is gaining weight, and it's a little non-homeostatic to lose it. And I think that's one of the big battles we have is, you know, and, you know, people say, accuse us all the time, well, you're trying to take people, the responsibility off of people. Well, they're holding the responsibility and doing nothing with it, so what?
Yeah, right. Well, with that being said, I mean, responsibility is a moving target, okay?
Yes.
If you're obese, if you're overweight, you have a responsibility to search for the answers until you reach your goal. So in other words, responsibility is like, okay, so today you're responsible to get some information. If that doesn't work, then tomorrow your responsibility changes to get some new information. So, you know, but you have to maintain responsibility in trying to unlock this code.
Yes.
With that being said, what is the magic behind glucagon? Like peptide 1. I know that you use that in your practice.
Yes.
How does it work? Does it really work in causing an increased level of satiety?
Absolutely does. And in fact, we think that's one of the mechanisms by which excess hunger occurs in some people who struggle to lose weight. I want to go back to something you mentioned there just a second. You know, what I love about the term responsibility is if you break it down to the roots, your ability to respond.
Right.
That's what responsibility is. And to respond appropriately. And you're right, as you, when you open the program, you know, it's the giving up that is that, I won't even say the problem, because there's an element of giving up that, is really helpful. That's how we start. That's how you begin, is you give up and say, I don't know what to do, let's get some help. And that's what we need. But GLP-1 and GLP-1 analogs have been a major, development in the management not only of weight, but of diabetes. GLP-1, glucagon-like peptide, is released from the gut when we eat, and it goes to the pancreas to assist an appropriate release of insulin. It also goes back to the brain to help, and the gut to slow it down to help, give a sense of satiety. Now, I contend, as well as do a few other researchers and people who are involved in this, that, 100,000 years ago, when we ran onto a food source where we could gain weight, man, that was rare, and he who ate the most won. So it would behoove those who had no GLP-1 and could eat more, store more of those calories, they'd survive longer. So all we're doing is putting it back to give you back the satiety that probably should have been there if we'd have had an equi-calorie environment.
Now, talk about the I'm getting ahead of myself, because I want to talk about cholecystokinin in a little while, but talk about the GLP-1 monoject. How do your patients use it? What do they see? What are the results?
Right. Well, there are multiple medications on the market right now that are used by physicians, again, primarily in diabetes, and that's what they're indicated for. So I'll just say first, everything we're talking about is, in a sense, off-label, but big deal. You know, deal with your doctor with it. Byetta was like the first big one that came out.
Right.
And it's colloquially called lizard spit, and it's actually manufactured right here in Bloomington, Indiana.
Is it really made from lizard spit?
That's where it was found. It was the saliva of the iguana. They wanted to, well, the Gila monster. They wanted to know how the Gila monster could go all year and only eat one time. And it turns out it has this exquisitely adapted GLP-1 system. Mm. So they copied it and said, well, could we use that to help control blood sugar in humans? And it turned out it worked very well. There are other medications out there, Januvia, Onglyza, Tradjenta, and all of these help. GLP-1, when it's released in our bodies from our gut, it only lasts about a minute. It's a very short half-life. The oral medicines, those three I mentioned, Onglyza, Januvia, and Tradjenta, work by slowing down the enzymes that break it down so that our own sticks around longer. Byetta and now Victoza, which is the other one that,
right,
that we use primarily in our office, is an analog or a copy, a mimic of that GLP-1, and it stays around for hours and gives that sense of satiety and helps with the appropriate amount of insulin release.
Doesn't it also slow down digestion, GLP-1?
That's exactly right, slowing gastric emptying so that the stomach stays full, feeling full longer. And in fact, that's one of the ways that we're able to modulate and know when we're given too much is that somebody kind of feels nauseous. And that's one of the main side effects. And the reason we like Victoza is we can vary the dose depending on how somebody feels. With some of the other meds, it's a little harder.
Now, this is not on topic, but since we're talking about it, about gastric emptying, for those of you who are trying to eat more, GRP2 and GRP6, which are ghrelins,
yes,
not only will increase hunger, but they will speed digestion. If you take 250 micrograms of GRP2, you will not only get hungry right before your meal, but you'll find that your stomach will be empty faster. So those,
yeah,
of you who are really trying to consume a lot of calories, you can use the ghrelins to do that. Just on a side. Okay.
Yeah. And that's a good point because, you know, the point is that, you know, people, there really are chemical bases to these. And for years I've had people who come in and say, I know there's something wrong with my metabolism. And I say, oh, really? They say, well, every doctor says it's crazy, it's in my head, and so forth. Usually we do find something that is affecting their metabolism that's a chemical imbalance.
Right. And obviously, as you said before, as we go into the break, you must be able to respond to this moving target, which is your weight loss and management of your weight loss, by gathering new information and new tools to deal with it. Dr. Andrew is going to come back in just a moment after this commercial break and talk more about it. Those of you who want to reach out to Dr. Andrew, you can do so by going to his website, andremedicalservices.com. Matt Andrew is my personal physician, and I can tell you something, that he's an amazing physician. And if he has room for you on his roster, you can consider yourself very, very lucky. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this
clearance offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented, powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
That's not me clearing my throat. That's in the song. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Matt Andry about the psychology of maintaining weight loss. And some tips and some tricks. So, GLP-1, is it prescribed specifically for bariatrics purposes, or is it generally prescribed for something else?
Well, this runs into a bit of what happens at the FDA. And in my humble opinion, I think the FDA is as prejudiced against fat people as anyone is, if not more so. Because, heck, if they got rid of all the fat people, who would buy their drugs, right?
Right.
So,
right.
So there's been an incredible backlash against what happened with Fen-Phen, back in the 80s.
Right.
When we had that medication, and the FDA just went nuts. They went the other direction, and anything that ever tried to get approved for weight was just immediately cut down as being dangerous, and nobody wanted to take the political risk. So all those medicines that, you know, as you know, anything that's going to help with weight is automatically going to help with diabetes. I mean, almost certainly. So all those companies went for indications in diabetes knowing they could get approved. So if any doctor wants to use it off-label, it's on them, not the company, is basically what's happened. And we've lost or not had approved several medications that could have been and would have been very helpful. There was a cannabinoid antagonist that we almost got approved, but it has been used in Europe, but it got shelled here,
right.
and we never saw it. And it showed tremendous results in a subset of people. And that's the thing. There's multiple mechanisms the body has. So the GLP-1 analogs have all the medicines that work with that mechanism all have a primary use in diabetes, but there are several practitioners that use it as a standard part of their weight management protocols.
And there is a lot of success with it, right? So how frequently does someone have to inject, and what is the range of the traditional dosing?
Sure. Let's use Victoza. Byetta has very strict dosing. Eli Lilly, good old Indiana company right here, love them. But they've always kind of been very strict about dosing. I mean, they have like one or two doses you can use, and that's it. And that really limits utility because if you get side effects, you're stuck. You can't do anything. Victoza, we use a lot more for the reason that we can vary, to a tremendous precision what dose somebody needs. And we use enough to cut down appetite, not so much as to make somebody nauseous. And that's going to be anywhere from about 0.2 to 2.0 milligrams injected sub-Q once a day.
Okay. Now, let's talk about something else that's kind of in the same family of GLP-1, and that is cholecystokinin.
Mm-hmm.
Cholecystokinin has been shown to be increased by consuming pine nuts or the oil from pine nuts. Are you familiar with this at all?
Yeah, CCK, that's what we call it.
Right, yeah.
And it causes your gallbladder to contract. Think it in terms of homeostasis. It's released when we eat, and one of its functions is to go back and tell the brain that we have eaten and that we don't need, you know, we can stop at some point. So an abundance of it can, in fact, be a very satiating agent, as is any high protein and really, in a sense, some high fat meals as opposed to carbs.
Wouldn't it be beneficial to eat pine nuts in between meals?
Absolutely. The question is, and no one's really done the studies that I'm aware of, is what factor, and it'd probably be different person to person, is the most potent you and I could probably put together what in essence would look like an allergy panel. Let's look at the agents that can cause satiety, and let's see which ones are most potent for someone.
Really? Really?
That would be a brilliant thing to do, I think. But for some people, that CCK boost they would get from it might be very effective. For others, it may not be a big deal. For them, just the protein load that they would get from it might be helpful, or the unsaturated fat load.
Yeah, I mean, I think that adding pine nuts to your diet can actually help you make it longer in between meals.
Absolutely.
And if your doctor would it be not prudent to use a cholecystokinin a producer like pine nuts in conjunction with GLP-1?
No, it would be fine. Those mechanisms, I mean, again, GLP-1 is released when we eat, CCK is produced when we eat. So all we would be doing is augmenting a natural process that happens anyway.
What other tips and tricks are there that can help someone maintain weight loss long enough until the landscape of their brain actually changes so that they can then live that way?
Well, I hope I'm answering your question and answering this, but I want to go to what, you know, I think the things that will fundamentally help move along.
Sure.
What changes are going to happen in their brain. And you and I have talked about this before, Carl. I think we were hanging out socially and talking about it. But, you know, you, as someone who are very aware of things, and then that's why you're such a great resource on here, is you just, your ears perk up and you know when something's got some merit right off the bat. You know, and where does that come from? I don't know. It's one of those talent things that, you know, we all have to varying degrees. But another way to say that, in essence, to me, is sensitivity. People wouldn't think it. You know, you're the East Coast guy out here, you know, demonstratively saying what's up. But you're a really sensitive dude.
Yeah, right. No, right.
And I think that most of the people that I see when it comes to the psychology of weight loss or psychology of weight gain, whatever part of the phase you want to say we're in, they are mostly very sensitive people trying to live as if they're insensitive. And in essence, the weight becomes like an armor or a way to physically store or protect themselves from feelings that they don't want to have. A lot of times feelings that aren't even theirs, especially if they live in family units where there's a lot of strife, a lot of chaos, which you and I have talked about as well. And in essence, food becomes a way to chemically protect yourself, to feel better. It's short-acting Prozac. And it works. That's the only problem with it is it works. It just has side effects. And one of them is the weight gain. But getting the weight off is often about having to unwind some of these mechanisms we've had to protect ourselves from feelings, literally emotions, that are difficult for us to deal with.
Well, isn't the same cycle addictive personality traits seen in drug users, seen in people who are addicted to food? And what I mean by that is they become excited at the thought of going to Wendy's.
Before they even get there.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about how drug addicts become excited just on the thought of copping the drug before they even become euphoric and the thought of getting the drug. Doesn't that happen to overeaters as well?
I've noticed that in myself, and I've talked to scores of patients where we'll say, you know, just thinking about, okay, work's about done, I can almost go ahead and hit that drive-through on my way home. And you'll immediately start to feel better. And instead of, what I suggest with people, and this is one of the big tenets I go by, Carl, you know, it's a bit about acceptance. What you have to realize is that part of you that wants to do that is not wrong. It's not wrong. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient for the results you want in your body, but it's not wrong. It's absolutely right that as you go there and you go and you get something to eat, you will feel better. And you have to acknowledge that. If you can fully acknowledge it many times, before you even get there, you realize you've got the brain changes you've been looking for and you don't have to eat.
Really?
Or you don't have to eat nearly as much. If you can just accept that you're not, because what we do is, well, I'm going to go there. I guess I'm just being, you know, Fat Jake or whoever is in your head at the time. Yeah, you know, that's just who I am, and I'm bad, so I'm going to go be bad. You know, and you fulfill your own as a prophecy. You just back away from that and say, nope, it absolutely will help. I know it will help, and I'll feel better, and I deserve to feel better. Why? Because I'm a valuable person, dang it. And if you can fully swallow that, you get there, and you can let that dopamine buoy you, and it won't take 3 cheeseburgers. Maybe it just takes 1. Which, yeah. Is that bad? You know, it's not perfect on the plan, but it's better than 3, you know. And we look to be serially improving. That's the goal. We don't look to be perfect. There's no such thing. We just look at making moves toward health, better health each time.
What about those who would say, you know, it's counterproductive to tell people it's not their fault? You're not saying it's not their fault, but what you are saying is there is a mechanism in there that's making you do this. You have to recognize that first and deal with that.
Look, there's nobody I know or have ever seen who needs to lose weight, whoever needs anyone to tell them they need to lose weight. It's not about effort, and it's not about force. Those things work. If they do work, they work for short periods of time, and that's the way most people try to do it. And then the minute life gets in the way and brings other pressures and that fear is gone and no longer prominent, they're back to whatever they know. They're back to whatever their baseline is. That doesn't help. What frees people up is knowledge and accepting the way they are and understanding it. And then that gives them options that they didn't have on the table before.
What about thyroid function, Matt? There's a lot of people out there who may not have even been diagnosed, but blame their weight on their thyroid. This was best seen recently by a news reporter in Wisconsin who came on the air and said, you know, it's not my fault, I'm obese, I have a thyroid problem. How often do you see in your bariatrics practice really clinical thyroid disorders and these types of weight problems?
Sure. I would say thyroid is a significant agent in someone's weight problems roughly 15% of the time.
That's not a lot at all.
10 to 15%. But again, it's one that popularly people know a little bit about, and it's related to metabolism, and they're looking again for a way. Some people are looking for an excuse. They're looking for a way to get themselves off the hook. But other people are also just looking for something to get a handle on, something non-judgmental that they don't have to go in there and say they're bad and face a wall of decisions they've made for years that they know they're not going to conquer. They have to start with something they can make a change with. But the thyroid, the real unfortunate part about it is how many times I check someone and their thyroid function is actually elevated.
Really?
Instead of low. And that's a hard place because they've got to hope, you know, that they can, you know, get on some thyroid medicine or get some management and then see their weight improve. But I would say it's a significant factor, you know, a percentage of the time, but the majority of the time, again, that comes down to, too, it depends on the clinician. There are doctors who have really strict criteria for thyroid management, and there are those who have a kind of a broader understanding of optimization of thyroid function.
Well, I had a perfectly functioning thyroid, and I still got up to 330 pounds on my own.
Exactly.
And I never thought it was my thyroid. I never sat back and said, oh, I'm fat because of my thyroid. I knew I was fat because I was eating a lot of food.
Right.
And eating the wrong foods, too.
Well, and Carl, many people are at the place where they're not even ready to admit that that's what they're doing. And pointing it out to them is only minimally helpful because they typically, it's not a river in Egypt, man, it's denial. The road to hell with your health, as it is with many things, including relationships and business and everything else, is to continue to make decisions day after day pretending that you're not.
Right.
That's how it happens. And well, what we really work to do is help them take more ownership of their decisions.
I want to talk about that when we come back, because that raises an interesting point that I've thought about lots of times. And that is, when I was overweight, I knew I was overweight. I didn't like being fat. I didn't feel comfortable being fat. And I knew I had to do something about it, but I always moved the target date and time for addressing that out. I want to talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Dr. Matt Andrie. If you want to learn more about Matt, you can go to his website, and that is AndrieMedicalServices.com. He's a talented bariatrics doctor, but he's also a family doctor as well. For those of you who are looking for a doctor in the know, he's the guy to go to. If you're in the Indiana area, you can get to him. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Titan Organics is a direct importer of the finest organic virgin coconut oil from pristine Philippines farmland. Their raw, organic, and kosher centrifuged coconut oil is the finest available in the world. They're so confident that you've never experienced a finer coconut oil that the first 100 Superhuman Radio listeners get a free 15-ounce jar. If you love coconut oil for cooking, skin and hair care, or if you eat it out of the jar like Carl does, you're going to be absolutely blown away. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Titan Organics banner ad to get your free jar today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
The sun will come out tomorrow, but guess what? You'll still be fat tomorrow, unless you start doing something today. One of the pitfalls that befalls all of us, and I can, you know, I'm a card-carrying fat person. I still live with the scars of being fat. I was 330 pounds at my heaviest. There's pictures of me on Facebook that I'm not proud of, but I put them up there so other people know that when I talk about these subjects, I'm sensitive to it, okay?
Yep.
I remember getting bigger and bigger and knowing I had to do something about it. But always, well, this weekend is the kid's birthday party, and next weekend is this, and you just keep pushing it out and pushing it out, and tomorrow never comes. What do you think about that, Matt? What do you teach your people at your practice?
Absolutely. I am so glad you asked that, because I think that's one of the most important questions you can ask. And the way I'll start talking about it here is I'll give you another corollary, and that is, you know, I've worked on my weight too. I've lost 30 pounds four times. I really get a lot of these things. But, you know, so many times I'd get up and I'd go to put on a pair of jeans and they were tight and I didn't like how it felt and, God, I got to lose this weight. But it was like, Carl, there felt like there was nothing I could do in that moment that helped me a darn bit 3 hours later when I was hungry.
Exactly.
You know? And so, but after 12 years of doing this and frankly messing it up a little bit, I think I have finally learned that this whole time there was absolutely something that I could do in that minute. And everybody who wants to lose weight, there is something you can do this very second that will make a huge difference in your outcome. And it is not go exercise. I mean, that's the thing I've heard people say, well, you just get up and do 45 push-ups or whatever. No, you could do that if you want. But what you need to do is what you need to be doing also every time you sit down to eat, every time you're halfway through a meal, every time you get up from a meal, every time you are in your office and stressed out at the end of the day, every time you get a bad phone call from your family member or whoever, you need to listen to your body that moment. That's what we do not do. We miss the signals when we're hungry and need to eat. We miss the signals when we're full and need to stop. We are not in contact with it. We're full of our heads are full of all our plans and things we got to do and time we got to do and how do we get money and all this, instead of focusing on what the body needs, this absolutely essential part of us if we're going to hang around here very long. We're not in contact with it as far as what its needs are moment to moment.
And that's mindfulness, isn't it?
That's mindfulness, absolutely. You can have a Dairy Queen thing if you want it. If that's what your body is telling you, fine. Just be sure when you're done with about your fourth bite, and for many of you it says, you know, I'm kind of done with this. Go ahead and throw it away. Don't say, oh my gosh, I spent $4 on this thing, I got to finish it. You know, that accounts for probably 30% of our overweightness right there, you know.
That is a really good point I want to expand on. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, because we're on the same point.
No. You know what? That's another thing. It's like we feel like because we paid for it, we've got to eat it all. And I'll tell you, I'm going to go a step further. Those of you who are like me know that you may actually be tasked with finishing somebody else's food because they feel guilty about not finishing. It's like, oh, I don't want to throw this away. Why don't you eat it?
Why? Again, most of us grew up poor.
I did.
And we grew up in an environment where it was somehow very disrespectful for you to not do that. Someone was trying to love you with food. And if you go, you know, if I go to my grandma's and she made fried chicken, I don't care how much I'm trying to lose weight. I'm eating it, man. And that's not a wrong decision. It's just inconvenient for trying to lose weight that day. It's when you do it day after day after day and you never examine the reasons that it adds up on you. You can go ahead and finish it if you decided you paid the money. But if you look at that often enough, eventually you go, why am I doing this? I'm just hurting myself.
Right.
And I can afford the $4. I'll get another one tomorrow if I want one. But being able to listen to your body when it says I've had enough, that's the key.
Yeah, I like that. And you know what? A point that you made a second ago needs to be discussed, really. And that is, if you are one of those people who knows you have to do it and you keep putting it off, don't put it off. Do it. Start now. Even if it's passing on a specific meal or eating less or doing the push-ups or whatever it is, because you have to start somewhere. You are not going to fit into those jeans today,
right.
And you may not fit into those jeans 3 weeks from now.
Right.
But you will fit into those jeans if that's your goal. You have to remember, you did not get this size overnight. You are not going to. That's the problem. We have lost our ability to see gratification in the distance. Everything has to be now. We want immediate gratification. Part of that is due to the technologies that we embrace today. Text messages, our memories are fragmented. We have no ability to see into the future. But you have to make those decisions throughout the day, day after day, week after week, month after month. And the good news is it doesn't happen fast. And you know why that's good news? Because once you get to where you want to be, it also doesn't come off fast. It doesn't come apart fast, rather. You'll stay there easier.
I'm going to say this, and initially it might sound like I'm trying to disagree with Carl, but I'm absolutely coming back to the exact same point. That a lack of ability to have a delayed gratification is, this sounds kind of paradoxical, but it's the same problem as not checking with yourself right now. You're not accepting that, just accept that your weight is heavier than you want and you want it different. Instead of staying in that denial phase where you say, well, I just can't do anything about it, and I guess I'm just fat, and I'll go eat something. No, that's the mistake right there. Except that your weight's not where you want it. And if you're going somewhere and you're planning to have country fried steak for lunch, and you just, oh, I don't think I can change it. I just really need it. I really want it. Okay, I'm with you, man. Accept it and go on. But all I'm asking you to do is halfway through, take a break a minute. And if you can stop right there, man, you just saved yourself probably 1,000 calories.
Right.
It's when you go, well, I'm just bad. I just need to eat it. And I don't know what my wife's going to make tonight, and she'll probably try to make something healthy, so I'm going to get what I can now. It's that kind of a thinking, that poverty thinking, that I can't do what I want thinking, that someone's going to kind of control me thinking, so I'm going to make myself feel better in the ways I can control myself. Heck with that. Make yourself feel better this moment. Accept who you are, accept where you are, and the things you want to change. Know that you can by kindness, not effort.
Mm. So kindness to yourself, you're saying?
Absolutely. Kindness to multiple parts of yourself. Your body doesn't want to eat all that crap.
Right.
You know, part of your brain does, but once you've satisfied it, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it gets by on a tenth of what you typically like to give it. Give it the chance. Give it the chance to tell you it's full. Wrap up whatever you go to the restaurant and sit down and ask your server to wrap up half of whatever you got. And if you want the rest,
in fact, when you order it, say bring half of it to me in a to-go box, so you can't even eat the rest of it.
And the point is not of just missing those calories that time. It's of thoughtfulness. Mindfulness of what you're doing and ownership of your decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important that people make a decision than they always make the right one, because we're not always going to make the right one because we don't know. But it's absolutely deadly to continue to make decisions pretending that you're not making any.
I like that. Yeah, because most people feel that they're innocent bystanders in this. They are making active decisions.
Victims.
They are making active decisions to get where they are. They need to just change the decisions to get where they want to be.
Or accept that they've made one and going to live with the results. You know, if I'm going out to my family reunion and I know what food's going to be there, and a lot of those don't work with what I typically need to eat, I'll just accept, yeah, this is going to cost me a couple pounds. Well, I'll work a little harder this week, no biggie. Instead of, oh, I better not do this, all the while shoving it in as fast as you can.
Yeah, right. And I'll tell you something else. People need to embrace the notion of equity. And what I mean by that is you can use exercise can have an intrinsic and extrinsic benefit. The first intrinsic benefit, obviously, is because it can help burn calories, repartition, build muscle, which eats more increases metabolic rate, blah, 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 blah. There's another thing that exercise will do. If you do it first thing in the morning, you have equity in the day. You will be more thoughtful. I can tell you firsthand that the days that I don't train, I don't eat the way I should. And what I mean by that is some days I don't eat enough.
Yes.
Because I don't have an investment that day. It's like, well, I didn't work out this morning. I'm not going to worry about what I eat.
I'll tell you what occurs to me about why that's the case, Carl. Because when you're exercising, it's forcing you, not forcing, it's inviting you to be more in contact with your body from the get-go, right from the start of the day. So you started that conversation, and then you tend to continue the conversation in other areas. You know, anybody listening right now, I tell you what, you can do it. This isn't even got a thing to do with food, but we're just going to listen to our bodies. When I just take a full breath and just put my hand on my gut and say, what do you need? It almost always tells me the same thing. Sit up more, get my shoulders back, breathe deeper, and I could use a little water. And that's what it's telling me right now. And 80% of the time it says those things. And sometimes it tells me you need to eat. And at that moment, I have to confront that fear that says, oh my gosh, I better not eat something, I'm going to get fat. You know, you have to confront that and say, no, my body says it needs something, we're going to honor it.
Well,
and then you go and say, well, what's it going to be? And I bet you it won't be potato chips and french fries.
And that's and that's the next discussion when we come out of the break. Choices go beyond just making the choices of what to do. It also goes to what to eat. I want to talk about the choices in food selection when we come back. We're talking with Dr. Matt Andre. If you want to learn more about Matt, you can go to his website, which is Andre, A-N-D-R-Y, medicalservices.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
If
you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Superhuman Radio is a standing friendly workspace as I stand and do the show. I forgot, I've been sitting for most of the show today. I'm getting my big butt out of the chair because we know the beneficial things that that does to us. Anyway, okay, so Matt, when you're working with people who are trying to achieve a new body form, do you find that they gravitate towards the wrong types of foods because some of these foods have drug-like effects? We had Dr. Joseph Hiblin on recently who discussed the propensity of certain omega-6 fats to convert to arachidonic acid and arachidonic acid's affinity to the cannabinoid receptor and causing the same kind of munchies that smoking weed does. Do you find that people gravitate towards certain foods? And if so, how do you teach them to like the foods that are going to help them get to their goal?
Sure. Oh, I think, again, you know, just like Albert Einstein said, no problem is ever solved by the same level of consciousness that created it. You don't do it just by efforting and saying, I got to eat something different. You try instead to get a little more information just like that and understand that there's a mechanism behind it. And understanding that I can control what I'm going to be hungry for later by what I eat now. That ought to be good news for people. If I realize that if I'm going to, you know, not just that, if you're going to have a bunch of pasteurized milk, There we go again, our favorite topic.
There you go.
You're going to create some of those same, not only cannabinoid, but opioid receptors.
Oh, because of the, are we talking about beta 2 casein right now?
Yes, yes.
Right.
Same principle. We're inducing the kind of chemical changes that are going to have a significant influence on what we are hungry for later. If people can remember that if I eat mostly a lean source of protein now, that I'm going to greatly reduce my hunger and increase satiety and affect how big and for what my meal will be later. If you're going to go have mashed potatoes and with a bunch of margarine on them and stuff, you're just asking to be starving in about an hour and a half.
Hmm. Interesting. What do you think has the greatest incidence of effect on causing people to stick to their plan?
Fear.
Really?
Absolutely.
Fear of what? Fear of getting thin?
Yes, sometimes. I know that sounds backwards, but if you'll detect, that those of you who just, I got to lose weight, if you'll realize in there somewhere, many of us have something in there that wants us to be fat, that wants us to suffer, wants us to stay unhand. I'm going to hear you right now. Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. I can relate. I'm Catholic.
Exactly. Man, that and the Jewish faith and a bunch of others are built on this.
Well, I learned early on that the more you suffer, the more it shows you care.
That's right. I think there was a great song by The Offspring.
Right.
That's absolutely true. You know, I talk with my patients and I say that, you know, inside our heads we're a committee, right? And on that committee there's someone who wants to be lean and healthy and always go exercise and eat just the right stuff. And there's another dude on there that doesn't care. And it wants what it wants right now. In fact, yesterday. And the rest of the world can go to heck. We have to acknowledge that both of those are there. And neither of them are wrong. They both have a point. That guy who wants to just sit there, he knows what foods will make you feel better right now. And if we can acknowledge that that's the case, but say, okay, pat you on the head, and you're right, but you can't drive the boat all the time, right?
Right.
But there is part of us that wants to stay unhealthy. I mean, we see it a lot in partnerships, in marriages, you know, where people sabotage each other's success. That's one of the biggest things we end up fighting. We get all these methods that we put people on high protein, low carb diets, get their metabolism straightened out, get their hormones straightened out, and they're losing weight, right? And then all of a sudden, their husband's coming home and I'm buying them everything off the plan, telling them they don't need to be coming in there. Why are you spending the money doing that? Not realizing that a big reason is their own insecurity, and they think if my wife gets hot, she's going to leave me.
Oh, my ex actually said the words, I liked you better when you were fat.
Crazy. Amazing.
And I remember saying to her, but I'd be dead by now then.
Yes. But there again, you didn't threaten her sense of security when you were fat and she was all you needed. And
right.
These are huge issues. We're just getting ready, Carl, actually. This is very exciting to me. We're about to do some research projects with the Kinsey Institute here at IU Bloomington.
Oh,
campus.
The Kinsey Institute that was behind all the sexual, all the sexual experiments back when we were younger, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep. And they're still doing great research. But there's actually an NIH grant we're going to apply for relating to the ways in which changing people's weight affects their relationships and their sexual relationships. For some people, it makes them absolutely better. I mean, I've had guys come in, and I'm like, oh, gosh, what's going to happen? And they shake my hand and go, you gave me my wife back. Thank you.
Right.
And I've had other guys come in and say, my wife's never coming in here again. I don't know. You've changed her, and you've made her a different person, and now she doesn't even want me.
Right.
You know,
right.
And all these crazy things. And in both genders, too. I mean, I'm not just talking one direction. And we've probably got more men in our program than most of the programs out there. And I think because we do address the hormones and the metabolic part, and we do say it's not just about, efforting everything out. It's about understanding.
Do you ever tell your new patients at the time of induction, you know, this is probably something that you need to include your significant other in the journey because they need to go along with you? This is really, I mean, I talk about this years ago. I talked about this as it relates to HRT. When one of the partners gets on HRT, all of a sudden, their life changes, the other one doesn't, and you see the marriage splitting shortly thereafter.
Yep, and we have that discussion a lot. In fact, that's one of the things we're going to do with Kinsey. We've put together a group of patients, women who have had their hormones addressed, and all of a sudden they've got a libido they've not had, and their husband left his behind 10 years ago.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they got nothing to do with it. And it, one of two things happens. They either get really frustrated or they're dragging their husband in here by the ear.
Right.
You know, But these are potent issues, and they get in the way of our progress. They get in the way of the progress of our exercise. They get in the way of our progress when it comes to eating better. And it should be a team effort. Why? Because we live in groups. We don't always live. We don't live in isolation.
Well, and there's another factor here that I've started to recognize. I have had influences on helping people, not me personally, but things that I've exposed people to on the show over the years. And I've noticed that there are two types of people out there. There are people who are really committed to changing their lives. And there are people who are committed to staying sick and broken because that has become
their identity.
A major cornerstone of their identity. Yes, they
absolutely.
I mean, I have friends who brag about their fused vertebrae and, you know, how they're, oh, you know, I got this. I'm on these medications. And I've said to some of them, well, you know, that you can reverse and that. And they look at you and then they go right back to their discussion. And I realize, my God, these people wear their illness like a badge. It's become a badge of honor in our society today to be ill.
Even if it's a bad identity, an identity that we have wants to continue existing. And you have to confront that reality. I mean, all of us have that neighbor or that family member's neighbor who she just, some poor lady, and she's got all her doctor visits written out for the next 6 months, and there's about 23 of them.
Right.
And she has a list of medications that's about 30 long. And her identity has, and all of her work and effort has become on how do she manage this disease she has, this problem she has, this thing she has. And obesity is just one of those major ones that they can't ignore. In fact, I tell most people, what you don't realize is that your weight can be and is a gift. It's a gift to you. And Carl, it was a gift to you, man.
Oh.
I mean, it was what allowed you an unavoidable handle to get you into more consciousness, to get you into more awareness about what you were doing and why and what you wanted.
Interesting. I mean, I thought you meant something. I recognized early on that I
that 330 pounds is why we have Superhuman Radio today.
Well, and a heart problem, but exactly. And you know what? I recognized early on that I became comfortable with occupying a certain amount of real estate on this planet, and that losing weight did somehow threaten who I was.
Yes. That is absolutely in there. You don't have as much weight to throw around. You don't occupy as much space.
Yeah.
You don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And I usually tell people congratulations when that's the point that they're at, because none of us do.
Interesting. Very, very good. So in summary, people can keep the weight off, but you have to focus on some of the things that we're talking about here and use some of the tips and tricks. GLP-1 obviously is something that can help you. Using different nutritional protocols, like maybe eating pine nuts in between meals. I'll tell you something else. Throw a piece of chewing gum in your mouth at some point in time when you want to punctuate the meal, because it's like brushing your teeth. You can't eat anything after that.
Right. Very difficult. Those are all very helpful tips. You know, I'm going to one thing you said there, you know, you're going to have this weight there. Actually, no. Remember, just as you told me, we renew our bodies completely. How long?
It depends. Every 6 months to 7 years, depending on what type of cells they are.
Exactly. In 7 years, you're going to be an entirely different person. But you can influence what's going to be in there tomorrow by what you do now. So just know that you're a work in progress. You're not always going to be the same weight. I could, you know, and I tell people, I'm not here to help you lose weight. I'm here to help you lose fat. Because weight's not the problem. The problem is the body fat that's in excess.
Right.
And it's an imbalance, and we're trying to get rid of it. One thing I've been using a lot of here lately that I'm sure you know about, Carl, and that's berberine, which is an herb, which helps reduce insulin resistance very potently. Actually, in a study that they did, it's about 3 years ago, I think, Dr. John Wright out at the Tacoma Clinic has a great website about this. And he talks about it. 50 people, and they reduced their A1C from 8.1 to 7.3 in less than in 3 months.
Is berberine a glucose disposal agent? Is it an insulin mimetic? What does it do?
It increases insulin receptors on cells.
Really?
Yes. It's brilliant. And it comes as a couple forms you can get on Amazon or other places called Glycox or Glycosolve. It's usually mixed with some cinnamon or, you know, other things we talk about for blood sugar. But that berberine.
How is it administered? How often do they take it before a meal or what?
It's usually 500 milligrams two or three times a day.
Is there meal timing involved in it or just two or three times a day no matter what?
No, you just go. Yep.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great tool. My own dad, we cut his fasting blood sugar down from wherever it was to like 108. I mean, it's been just dead solid.
Wow. Berberine. So that's a really good tip right there. I mean, you know, yeah. and don't forget, you don't have to be obese or insulin resistant to want to increase insulin sensitivity.
Hey, insulin resistance is a great thing on two conditions. If you're pregnant or starving. If you're not those things, you don't want a lot of insulin resistance.
Really good point. Okay. The wisdom of Dr. Matt Andrie never ceases, and you can get in touch with him directly. You can go to Andrie Medical Services to learn more. If you're looking for a great HRT clinic, his clinic is good at hormone replacement therapy as well for both men and women. Again, it all starts by going to AndrieMedicalServices.com. Matt, thanks so much for being on the show today, brother.
Thanks, Carl. Love you.
Talk to you soon,
man. Thank you. Yep.
All right, so there you have it. Another show is completed. I hope you enjoyed it. Want to thank quite a few people. Dr. Robert Wild for coming on and talking about the new research that shows that if you have metabolic disorders, getting on hormone replacement therapy may not protect you more, which the message there is hormones are not going to allow you to live a crappy lifestyle and get away with it. Secondly, Dr. Declan Norton, for coming on and talking about the importance of understanding the different isoforms of vitamin D as they are metabolized in our body. Taking a D3 supplement may not be all you need. And if it's Alzheimer's you're worried about, it looks like mushrooms should be eaten because of their ability to deliver D2 and obviously these enzyme cascades that increase the dihydroxy form of D2 are important to somebody who is suffering from or worried about Alzheimer's disease. And, of course, Dr. Matt Andrie for coming on and continuing the discussion on weight loss and weight management. And his website is Andrie Medical Services. Don't forget to check out AndrieMedicalServices.com. Tomorrow's Thursday. We have both a roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy and a Subversity Science Roundup. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. And thank you for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Iron Mag Labs is...